Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Ann Duncan, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Ann, you mentioned FITARA, the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, which was signed into law December 2014. Where are you in implementing the provisions of the law?
You know, we're pretty much there. They've got a couple things on FITARA that we have not wrapped up completely, but we like to point out that we're one of the top agencies in implementing FITARA, and I say that to make sure my FITARA lead continues to be happy with me. They've worked incredibly hard in our organization to be successful at implementing FITARA, not only because it's a law, but because we feel like it's a very valuable law in terms of our ability to be more successful. I talked a little bit about our IT portfolio reviews. We've done that once with all the programs and regions, and we're actually well into our second round of those, and we found those to be very effective at getting a good handle on what the various programs are doing, what the regions are doing, and finding opportunities for collaboration. We reviewed our acquisition process and made changes to ensure that the CIO or someone to whom I've delegated authority is directly involved in all acquisitions, and that's been very successful in identifying opportunities for us to be more effective. And you know, part of the implementation has been in putting our digital services team in place. And we formally have our digital services team in place now as of July because we finally finished our reorganization process. But we've been behaving like we had a digital services team for quite a while, for a year and a half now. And that's given us some great opportunities to do some really visible projects across the agency. We talked about e-enterprise. There's also e-manifest, which was one of our first agile projects, which was helping the e-manifest team, which was struggling, get on their feet in delivering a new program that was expected by OMB by a certain date. And so we were able to allow them to, or help them to be more successful in that space. We've also been able to provide a lot of consulting and service delivery for other projects, and all of those have been predicated on our implementation of FITARA.
And I talked to many people about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us more about how you're leveraging partnerships to improve IT operations and outcomes? And to what extent can collaboration and partnership drive innovation?
So it's a great question. There are several ways that we're collaborating across the agency. Obviously, we try and build solid relations with our vendors and to walk the line of staying on the right side of acquisition processes, but also building those relationships allows us to be successful with our vendors. But I think there are other partnerships that are far more interesting in terms of how the agency is working. I want to highlight that because we are a government shared service provider, we are partners with other agencies in implementation of FOIA Online and the e-rulemaking system. And those partnerships have been tremendously valuable across the federal government in terms of moving both of those programs forward. And we have a very strong governance process that allows us to partner with all those agencies to deliver it. More informally, you know, I partner and my CTO and my chief data scientist and everybody who has a sort of a government-wide body that they work with on improving processes across the government, both through activities like the Transformation Task Force that I sit on, through councils, and also even more informally through ongoing discussions. We have lots of conversations and take action to find ways to improve the way the government works by learning from each other. And those partnerships we develop across the government, like those informal ones, are just as valuable as the formal ones. The other obvious area of partnership is our relationships with the states and the tribes and the regulated community. We've worked very hard, particularly with our relationship with the states and tribes in the last couple of years, to move those to be strong partnerships. Those relationships aren't always easy because we obviously have competing interests, and we have to figure out ways that we can deliver technology and processes and regulations that meet everybody's needs. And I think we've been very successful at improving those partnerships. And then finally, things like grants and challenges, right? Our Smart Cities Air Challenge, which is coming up, is a great place for we can partner with and engage communities in to be successful. And that actually has applications open right now with a deadline of October 28th.
And given the critical role information technology plays in mission and program delivery, how has the role of the chief information officer in the federal space evolved into that of a trusted business advisor? And what are the characteristics of an effective CIO?
Yeah, it is a long way from the days where you just told the CIO, you know, go run the network and leave me alone. You can't run a business or a government without a strong technology organization. And so in order to really run your organization, the CIO has to be a trusted advisor. They have to be a partner with you to help you understand how to navigate the world in which you're doing whatever you do, whether that's regulating, whether that's providing services, whether that's selling goods. Your CIO has to be someone who is looking forward into the future as to what technologies are coming up that are going to meet your needs most successfully. They have to be someone who is also operationally focused to ensure that you can deliver on the mission and on the program and do that as successfully and efficiently as possible. So that operational focus has to include both the ability to provide high quality secure systems and the focus on finding ways to make those less costly over time. So, you know, a successful CIO in the future is much more of the same in some ways. That is, they need to continue to become more of a visionary, to be looking forward, to be widely consuming information to understand technology trends. You can't just focus as a government CIO on what's going on in the government. You must be looking out at what's going on in industry and the private sector. If there's anything we've learned from our current efforts on digital services is that part of what the government, what's gotten government technology in trouble has been being very inward focused, doing what the government does as opposed to looking at how industry's changed. Now, there have been other barriers, but that's been a huge barrier, is this idea that we're the government, we're different. We have to look at what's going on in the rest of the world, what's going on in the private sector, and learn from that and develop our capabilities. We can't be different in that sense.
And what emerging technologies hold the promise for helping you achieve your priorities? Are there any important accomplishments to improving government-wide use of IT in pursuit of innovation that you'd like to highlight?
So I think in terms of technologies that will take us in the future, I think the biggest one for science-based agencies and maybe probably some other ones as well are sensors, right? Low-cost sensors, the ubiquity of low-cost sensors will allow many agencies, including the EPA, to much more successfully collect data. Whether it's a matter of putting a sensor on a smokestack instead of sending someone to check a monitor, or providing citizens or allowing citizens to share their information that they collect from sensors that they have on their phones, there's a vast array of technology that will allow us to collect data as part of the Internet of Things. There are a lot of challenges with that. There are challenges with making sure you're getting high quality data and that you're protecting your data and that you're able to analyze it and make sense of it and then share it back in a way that's meaningful. But I think that's really a key technology going towards the future that's going to make a huge difference in the EPA in terms of advancing our priorities and more effectively and efficiently regulating and gathering data than our current processes that often involve sending an individual out into the field to collect a measurement.
And what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
So I think my advice is that, you know, the cliche about the from the old, I think, Army commercial is true, right? It's the hardest job you'll ever love. You know, working in the government is incredibly rewarding. It's not easy. But you know, knowing that you're getting up every day, going to work and helping to meet whatever your agency's mission is, whether it's to provide clean air, water, and land, whether it's to protect the country, whatever that mission might be, you can't have a better feeling about your job and the calling than to work for the government.
And that's terrific advice. I want to thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to take the opportunity to remind everybody that our Smart Cities Challenge is closing on October 28th. We'd love to have lots of applications for that.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Ann Duncan, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.